The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Healthy Lifestyle with Lori Ann is brought to you by Northwell Health. Visit them online at northwell.edu. Welcome to Healthy Lifestyle. I'm Lori Ann Kasdia. Our goal here at Healthy Lifestyle is to inspire, educate, and empower you to fulfill a healthy, emotional, spiritual, and physical life so you can feel empowered to live the life you have always wanted and dreamed. We here know that creating really good habits, it takes 21 days to build a habit and 90 days to build a lifestyle. And we love reminding you to create those habits, start one at a time, and try to focus on them. I don't like to look at them as resolutions because it's an ongoing thing. So today on that avenue, today we have one of our great inspirational people, Anthony Amen, from Redefine Fitness, and has a great, great story and goes to all about creating really, really good healthy habits. So how are you? Welcome to the show, Anthony.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
No, my pleasure. My pleasure. So you do have a really great story. Now, you've been doing fitness for how long?
Approximately 5 years.
5 years. And why did you start?
It's a good story.
I know. Let's share it with our listeners.
So started off when I was young. I was actually never into any kind of fitness. I ran a 15 mile. And for those that don't know, that's basically walking. And I was out of breath. And that was about it. Had no aspirations really to do anything outside of that besides kind of play a couple sports here and there.
Right.
Went to college to actually become a meteorologist, but that didn't pan out. Regardless, played a lot of sports, was playing sport called broomball that no one's ever heard of on Long Island.
Is that something out of Harry Potter?
That's what everyone says.
No, it sounded like it.
All your speakers from Canada will know it.
Oh, all right.
It's hockey, except you wear sneakers on the ice. It's a little short broom, and the ball's round.
Okay.
But pretty much all the same rules of hockey apply.
Okay. It almost sounds like, what's that thing that you scrape the ice as you go through it?
We were talking about that earlier today. We couldn't remember the name.
Yeah. It'll come to me, but it kind of has that look to it because they use brooms too, but they're clearing out the ice to allow the ball to float.
Not really a broom. It's a plastic thing at the end of the wooded paddle. It's
okay.
Very short, stucky, like hockey stick.
So that's the only sport you played?
I played a lot of that. That was the most popular sport there.
Oh, okay. You're from Canada?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
But
why were you in Canada?
Oswego.
Oh, yeah. So, I went to Oswego for a semester.
Oh, there you go. Canada.
Yeah. Right across the way.
Exactly.
It's really cold up there.
So how come you don't know broomball?
We didn't play that. But I went to the ice cream place.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about,
I
right?
never went there.
Oh.
Can of ice cream.
Oh, that's why. Yeah, no. It was awesome. Awesome, awesome. That was a great place. There was about a week that it had good weather, and it was nice, and everybody would be on the lawn. Am I exaggerating, or am I right?
It was a week.
It was about a week. Yeah, and
that's
they know
they got you.
Yeah. They always brought you up that week.
Always. You get there, it's 70 degrees. You see bonfires on the lake overlooking the most beautiful sunset you've seen in your life.
Oh, it is. It's exquisite.
And they don't tell you that the whole semester it snows and it's 30 mile per hour winds.
Yeah, to the point where you actually have ropes. They set up ropes and you have to hold on to the ropes to get across some of the bridges because the wind tunnel is so bad. And anybody under 100 pounds doesn't have to go to class because they can't. It's dangerous.
I've had many cases where you're walking up hills and you have the small little kids that needed to grab onto you to help walk up the hills because the wind was blowing them away.
Yeah, and we're not talking big hills. We're talking like little inclines.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, oh my gosh, that's so funny. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Anthony, a lot more in common than I thought. So back to your story.
So playing broomball.
Yep.
And my friends and I see this story differently, but I remember the whole thing. you get really good at running on the ice and learning how to stop short in sneakers. People think it's hard, but you pick it up pretty quickly. And my friend went to go slide tackle the ball away from me. And I went to go sidestep him and try not to step on his ankle.
Right.
And the back of my heel hit the ice. And then I fell backwards.
Oh, no.
It got to the point that I felt my back hit, and then my head whipped against the ice.
Yikes.
And I laid on the floor. Both games that were being played stopped because that was a very loud fall.
Right.
Got up, went off the side, and did the...
You were able to get up?
Yeah, I was fine. I was just more nervous that I fell.
Yeah, embarrassed.
Embarrassed, exactly. Sure. I sat out, and then I went back in.
Oh, my God.
Shouldn't have done that.
No.
But nothing happened, thank God. And I remember the game ended. We were walking back to the dorm room. We got up to it. I sat on my bed, and I went to go lay back. And we were having a conversation in the room. And the last thing I remember was someone trying to talk to me, and I couldn't really form words anymore. And that's where it was just like, and I just blanked on everything. So at that point, had to go to the hospital and the ER to see what was going on.
Right.
From that point, I don't remember the next 3 months.
Wow. So you had an amnesia from hitting your head.
Yeah, I couldn't look at light. It was the back of my head, so I couldn't even have the light on in the bedroom.
Right.
Couldn't go outside. Couldn't look at text. So pretty much what I was told was I just laid in my bed and moaned for 3 months.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That was rough.
So fast forward us into what got you into fitness.
So
obviously through the recovery process, yeah.
Yes, yes. I went to physical therapy, multiple doctors. I want to say it's somewhere in the 25 range because I had no range of motion. And from that, I would get muscular pain that would trigger migraines to the point that I wouldn't be able to get a bed. And we're talking a year later.
Wow.
It was just debilitating.
Debilitating, yeah. Well, migraines are debilitating. I get them. I have familial migraines, so I get them seasonally and stuff like that. And so I understand the pain from the light in your eyes. It's like somebody's putting hot pins in your eyes and the nausea that comes with it sometimes. And light and noise is very, you can't. You just like, I take my meds and go back to sleep. So because that's the only out from the pain is sleeping.
I never knew the difference until I had them.
Yeah.
And I think people like me who never had a migraine before were like, oh, it's nothing. It's just a headache. No, it's
totally different. Yeah.
You can't function. There's no functioning. Headaches you can function on. Migraines, you're laying in bed with your face covered in the pillow.
I actually had someone say to me this weekend, oh, my God, I have a bad headache. I have a migraine. And I'm like, you're standing up. You don't have a migraine. I'm telling you right now, you don't have a migraine.
Exactly.
So if I don't catch the aura before, you know, the migraine actually goes full blown, if I don't catch it, I go full blown migraine. But if I can catch it beforehand, that's a good thing about it. It stops it. You still have that headache, but it's a dull, normal headache. But it's not the full-blown migraine headache where light and sound and just breathing.
Mine was muscle relaxers. It was fun.
Oh, yeah.
But when I took those, you can't function on those. You pass out and you just...
Yeah, you're mush. It. Yeah.
So pulling out of work constantly and not be able to go to class when I was in school.
Yeah.
It took the last doctor I went to, because none of them were helping me. I met him and he pulled me into his office. I'm not making the story up or exaggerating at all. Go in, I sit next to him. I show him I have no range of motion. I'm explaining the migraines and he goes, I don't know what you want from me. I'm a physician, not a magician. I can't help you.
Oh my.
So that hurts hearing that from somebody who's supposed to be a top orthopedic surgeon and telling me that there's nothing he could do for me. I just got to live with this the rest of my life.
Yeah. That's not an option.
No, not an option. So decided to take matters into my own hands. And I didn't want to do nothing. I figured I'd just kind of experiment and work a little bit on doing certain air parts of the body, see how my body coped. And it was all trial and error. I taught myself how to fix myself. And I know a lot of people at that point would have just given up and just been like, this is a new part of my life. But I didn't want that to be a part of my life. I was young. I wanted to not live like that anymore.
Right. Where you basically debilitated, couldn't really work, couldn't go to school, couldn't do anything. And you just took it and said, no, that's not okay.
No.
It's not okay. So what are some of the things that you discovered and how it worked?
It was a lot of learning different types of stretches, learning to work different muscles and not working other ones in certain range of motion areas. There was points that, yes, I made it a little worse, maybe, because I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah, which is dangerous. So we always recommend that people make sure they check in with people who are experts in the field so that you don't do something to injure your injury more.
Exactly.
If that was even possible. And you became really obsessed with the gym, right?
Yes. Oh, totally. I loved the fact that I kept seeing myself get better and better. And when I tell my mom, because she was right there with me, when the first time I was able to touch my hands above my head, I hadn't been able to do that for almost 4 years, I cried.
Yeah.
Because it was so exciting. And I was like, no one's like, oh, okay, but take it for granted. You take it for granted turning your neck or just being able to do little day-to-day activities that people just, I couldn't do any of it.
Yeah.
So the fact that I was able to do that and kind of have a normal life, that was so exciting to me. And from there, I wanted to pass that passion on to others. And that's why I became a trainer and kind of got into the fitness world, because I really wanted to tell this story and show people that they don't have to give up. They might hear that, oh, it doesn't matter, it's the end of it, but it's not. You don't know.
Yeah. And you came from an extreme situation. People, everyday people, you know, if you can do that from an extreme situation and people have range of motion and just want to get active, training is important, and getting involved and getting to a gym is important, right?
Yeah, exactly.
To keep moving. Body in motion stays in motion. Isn't that what they say? So what kind of training do you do now?
We are a personal training studio.
This is at Redefine Fitness in Mount Sinai?
Yes. Yep. Correct. We're in the old King Cullen Shopping Center. That's what everyone knows it as.
Yes. True.
It's not there anymore, but...
And Mount Sinai is just east of Port Jefferson in New York.
Exactly.
Yep.
So 1,800 square feet, and we train people coming out of physical therapy or those that have circumstances like I do, all the way up to people that just want to lose weight. We also work with the special needs population, so we have a lot of them that come in because they do need the help as well as
right.
anybody else, if not more. Everything, ages 5 to 95.
Nice, 5 to 95. What is, people throw this term around a lot, personal training. What is personal training?
Personal training is taking fitness and making it about an individual. So going into a gym and kind of just doing your own regimen, one, you might get hurt. Two, you're probably not doing the right thing. So having a trainer, we can really customize and push you and hold you accountable to push you, which is the biggest thing people like out of it.
Yes, 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 yes. As a mentor, I hold business people accountable all the time. So we set a plan and we review the plan and they need to execute it. So the same thing for a fitness plan, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah, and I always wondered, because I don't like going to gyms because I don't know what to do. So if you send me to a class, I'm like, okay, I'll just follow the instructor. That's cool. But going to a gym and people walk in there and they're lifting weights and they're doing this and they all look like they know what they're doing. I have no idea what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing, how I should use it, what's good for my body. I just know that the weights feel really heavy and I don't like the treadmill.
You're the majority.
Yeah.
Most people don't know what they're doing. Unfortunately, they don't teach it in schools.
So. Right. So talk to people like me, talk to us about, you know, what we should be thinking about and the benefits of going to a gym where you have people like yourself who are experts at this, who can help us learn how to do the right thing.
The biggest thing is how it helps you. It helps you mentally. It helps you physically. The aesthetics of fitness is usually the last thing that we really push for people. I mean, everyone just attributes exercise with weight loss. Yeah, great, you're gonna lose weight, but there's so many more benefits that just to me are more important than that.
Which are?
Living longer is the biggest one. And not just living longer, but having a functional life. So when you hit your 50s, 60s, 70s, even I've clients up in their 80s that are walking, lifting, moving. Some people can't say that at that age. So it's just having quality of life that really outshines over everything. And I think that's just the most important part. Helps you think more. It helps you become clear out brain fog, which a lot of people experience. There's so many diseases that it helps prevent and can help rehab with it. The more and more research that comes out, because I always look at it, the more exercise has been shown to help.
Yeah.
With everything. So everyone should be doing it.
So it's not just for weight loss.
No, it's for way more than...
Than weight loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think weight loss, I think you just said, comes at the end. That's like a benefit. So it's many. But the other things is, first you get toned, right? You put your body in the best form it can be. It actually is, my understanding too, is when you train or you do physical fitness and you go to a gym regularly, it prevents you from getting hurt. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like during snow, when you're shoveling and using different muscles you haven't used in a long time, you can actually train and prepare for that, prepare your body for it, right?
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's funny you say that. Most people actually get hurt shoveling snow.
Yeah.
That's like one of the biggest contributors to people having heart attacks and getting injured.
Yeah.
Because they don't realize how much they're pushing themselves out in the cold.
Well, first it's cold. That adds to the endurance, right?
Yeah.
And then because they haven't been working out, they don't have that breath capacity, which is then associated with the heart disease and the heart episodes that people have. So
exactly.
It's a really good thing to do on a... Now, do you recommend daily, weekly? What is your normal suggestion for people wanting to start to do this again? Because we are, you know, in January still coming out of making our resolutions. Although, again, my preference is that you just have a life habit. But
exactly.
How, you know, what recommendation do you make?
It always depends on the individual, the recommendation. But for the average person, at least 3 days a week of weight training is ideal.
And that, 3 days a week?
3 days a week of weightlifting. Anywhere between a half an hour and 45 minutes, depending how efficient you're doing your workout.
Why?
The 30-minute window of HIIT training has been shown to be the most beneficial. It combines cardiovascular training with weight training.
So okay, now intensity. For people like me, what does that mean?
High intensity.
You remember, I don't like treadmills.
Fair
or
enough.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Although I like the elliptical. I do like running on that.
So cardio is great.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to do cardio.
But that's different.
Yes.
I could tell by your face.
Yes, very much so. I'm talking about the weights that some people shy away from because they're afraid of getting hurt or doing things, but everyone needs to be doing weightlifting.
Why?
Because it actually will help with weight loss. It will help with osteoporosis, osteoarthritis. It's the thing that you should go to before cardio, in my eyes. If you're going to pick one, pick weights. Because with weights, you can add a cardio component to it, and that's what's called HIIT training. It's weight training with a cardio component.
HIIT training?
HIIT.
H-I-T?
H-I-I-T.
Okay.
High intensity interval training, which means doing an exercise for 30 seconds to a minute spout of high intensity, so a lot of supersetting, and then a break, and then getting your heart rate up again, and then a break.
I get it. So why do you do that? Why do you do repetition? Why do you do sets? Why do you do things like that? Well, what's the point? I need to understand, because I really can't wrap my head around it. I'm like, I watch people do it. Everybody does it, but I don't know why.
To get your body to failure.
Okay.
So with muscle building, just in general, is the first part. You don't build muscle in a gym.
Okay.
That's a common misnomer. When you're doing your bicep curls, let's say as an example, your bicep gets bigger, but that's not because you're building muscle. What's actually happening is you're putting micro tears into your muscle and it inflames. Kind of like when you stub your finger and it blows up.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the same thing that happens when you're working out. Your muscle blows up and it looks bigger at that moment, but over the next 2 days, which is the 48 hours of recovering, is when your body is going to repair that muscle and make that bigger and stronger, and you adapt that way, and that's going to help you.
Right.
And the more muscle you put on your body, the higher your metabolic rate is, which will help you keep the weight off and lose weight in the long run that way as well.
So your metabolism speeds up from doing that?
Speeds up from doing it.
Really? So that repetitiveness is good.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
With proper form, repetitiveness of proper form. We're going to establish that.
All right. So, all right. I get it. I really get it. This is new for me because I don't do that. So I'm a yoga girl.
Yoga's great.
I'm a yoga girl. It's high intensity, but it's strengthening in control.
Yeah.
Is the way that I look at it. So that combined with meditation to me is, you know, what
very
I do.
Important.
However, I really want to learn more about weight loss. So I'm going to ask you to stay with us. For the second half. Would that be okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be awesome, because I want to share more information with our listeners to know more about what you do, Anthony, at Redefine Fitness, and how everybody should get back into it if they're not into it, and what they should plan to do. So we will be right back after this short message. Lifestyle with Lorianne is brought to you by Northwell Health. Visit them online at northwell.edu. Welcome back to Healthy Lifestyle. I'm Lorianne Kasdia. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to hear more about, please email us at healthylifestylewithla@gmail.com. And of course, follow us on social media at Healthy Lifestyle with LA. We love hearing from you. We answer every email and post personally. And we soon will be live streaming on Facebook starting next month, actually. So we're really excited about that, too. So today, we are speaking with Anthony Amen from Redefine Fitness. And speaking of which, Anthony, how'd you come up with that name, Redefine Fitness?
It's a cool story. So
you have cool stories. You're just so cool. The coolest.
Redefine Fitness is kind of, you can hear in the name, I'm trying to change the fitness industry.
Nice.
So it used to be back in the 80s, 90s, where it was all about bodybuilding and stuff like that. But I'm changing it to more of a medical industry. That's where we really want to take this. Right now, we're learning more about preventative medicine.
Sure.
And exercise fits right in that cap of preventative medicine, but no one really sees it that way. So I eventually want to take this company and blow it up to be Preventative Wellness Network, which I've currently been doing right now. I just paired with a chiropractor, a registered dietitian, and I did just hire a physical therapist on staff, so we're starting to do that. But we're going to do more of those rehab programs. So right now, great example is the limbo with physical therapy. You go into physical therapy, insurance tells you you get 25 sessions, they don't know who you are, and then you go see your physical therapist. Your physical therapist says, okay, you hurt your knee, we could only work on that now because the insurance companies won't let me work on the rest of your body. But your body heals as a whole. I think people are really starting to understand that. So yeah, doing exercise for that knee that you need to work on is great, but you can't do anything else. So that's why I'm creating programs now where you can do that. You get a physical therapist to really help fine tune and do those medical massages that you need and work on more range of motion. And then you can work with a trainer to work the rest of your body and really get the whole thing put together. Everything needs to be together with preventative wellness. And that's where I want to take Redefine Fitness, to be a whole new ball game. Imagine a place where you had insurance now that would cover that. Where kind of getting your regular checkup from the doctor, now you can go to a network and you can go get your regular chiropractic checkup, you can go to your dietitian, you can go here, all in one place under one roof where everyone has the same program all about you.
Yeah. Well, it makes perfect sense, because I know that when you hurt something, let's say you hurt your right leg, you eventually hurt your left leg because you favor the left leg. And then so you're thrown off completely. Your whole balance is thrown off because you do what's most naturally, which is to stay off.
Exactly.
And I know recently in hospitals, well, not so recently, but in the last 10 years, they've decided instead of you staying in the hospital for 7 days, The insurance company will let you anyway. But years ago, you used to stay in the hospital for a really long time. People were getting sicker, and also they were getting the bed sores and they weren't moving. So they try to get you up and moving right away. So that, to me, just sends, screams exactly what you're saying. It sends the same message. We have to keep it moving. So why isn't the industry like that right now, where you're working with the medical groups?
A lot of gray area. It's been a struggle, which is the hardest part right now, to really make this happen. The biggest thing is, like I said, it's just coming now how important fitness is in the medical world for a lot of people, like regardless of what person's condition is. And some doctors are starting to see that and starting to recommend people exercise, especially with the obesity crisis going on.
Right.
But they don't see training kind of as a way, avenue to push people on. Reason being, licensing for training doesn't exist in New York State.
For
any
now.
Human being can be a trainer.
Okay.
You can tell me your personal trainer and I have to believe you. There are national accrediting agencies, which I do require all of my staff to be on, so every one of our trainers is.
What are they?
And NASM is a big one, NASM. There's also ACSM. There's ACE, A-C-E. And then there's actually fitness specialist degrees you can get through colleges now, which is an up-and-coming industry. So it's important when you see those that stand out, they have, you go take exams that are proctored and watched, so you can't cheat, whereas other things you can just kind of fill out a piece of paper and that's the end of it. And doctors see that and they go, well, how can I trust anybody? And that's the kind of problem we've been having.
Well, yeah, from an insurance standpoint, you want to make sure that somebody's not going to make their condition worse. And then that doctor, it gets associated with that doctor, not the,
exactly.
the person you're getting trained by. Do you need to do personal training, or can you do training in groups?
You can do either or.
Yeah. Is there a benefit?
The
obvious benefit.
Whatever gets you to move. That's okay. The easiest answer. Some people don't even want training, but if they can move and do it on their own, great. I'd rather somebody move than go into training just in general. I just want people to exercise and see the importance of it, because it's going to help everybody in the long run.
And does it have more benefit the older you get, or does it not matter? Start anytime.
It's especially important for the elderly. So great example of that, HIIT training, which I can dive back into.
Yeah, please do.
So older people
is high intensity interval training.
Perfect.
Ha, I paid attention. I get an A. So,
they came out with an awesome landmark study saying that people up in their 80s and 90s should be doing HIIT training. Imagine seeing an 80-year-old doing burpees and sweating. And
no, I hate those. Can I do something else?
If
you've never
example.
Done a burpee, you have to look it up. They're so hard. Michael, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Burpees are fun. Stop.
They're fun. Oh my gosh.
They're fun.
All right. I'm not talking to you the rest of the show. Thought you had my back, dude. No, they're hard. They're so hard. But yeah, I could see that. If somebody, you know, my dad played tennis till the day he passed. So he loved playing tennis, and he kept moving. My mom kept moving, and it was just something. It was good for their brain.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow it's good for your brain. Why is physical fitness good for that? I find
that the blood flowing into it, and gotcha. What happens with...
Is it the endorphins or...
Yeah, so not to get too much into the medical reasoning, to kind of bring it down a little bit, is...
Well, dumb it down for me. You know that, Anthony.
But, for example, with dementia, is what's happening is your arteries actually getting clogged in your brain, those little tiny veins in there.
Yeah.
And if you have a little piece of fragment of cholesterol that gets stuck, it's going to kill that little piece of the brain. And that's what's going to cause dementia, and you're going to start forgetting things. With exercises, you're actually getting rid of that plaque.
Okay.
Or you're preventing it from even happening in the first place.
Is that the same plaque that causes heart attacks?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It just depends on where it is.
I'm starting to connect the dots. Look at that.
And the ones that need to cause heart attacks, especially depending on where it is, if it's more of an area, so it needs to be a lot of big plaque buildup. But to get a plaque buildup in your brain, it only needs to be the tiniest little thing.
Gotcha.
So that's how it's even more important to really exercise. Even with Alzheimer's, they're showing it's important to be sleeping and exercise. Especially if you have it in your family.
Yeah. I love your vision on changing the industry and making it cohesive with the medical industry because it is an important element. I mean, they kind of do with PT and chiropractic, but it needs to be more than that because it needs to be an everyday a habit. Oh, where have we heard that before? Making those habits. Yeah. So that movement is really, really important. What's your view on the percentage rule? And please explain the percentage rule to all of us.
So that is something that's uniquely mine. So
then you'll have to explain it.
Exactly. I like playing poker and gambling.
Okay. So, legally, of course.
And I was a big math buff growing up as well. So I'm all about percentages. Let's say you're at a casino, right?
Okay.
And for this particular game, you have a 50-50 shot of winning.
Okay.
Right? And the dealer goes to you, hey, look, listen, go get me a coffee and I'll give you 10% better odds.
Okay.
Are you going to go get that coffee from that dealer?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not even thinking about
it. Nope.
So let's take that practicality and then throw it into fitness and health. When you're born with a certain amount of genetics, whatever your genetic history is.
Right.
Some people have a 20% chance of developing something. Some people have a 10% chance of developing. So you're kind of given that deck of cards when you're born.
Yeah, sure.
So the percentage rule applies to that. Let's say you got a 20% chance of getting cardiovascular disease based on your genetics. But if you diet and exercise, I can make that 20% chance a 10% chance.
Wow, I do it.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But there's a flip side to it. If you don't, if you decide to go smoke, if you decide to go eat McDonald's every day, now that 20% chance is becoming a 40% chance, 50% chance. Yeah, it's possible because I hear from people all the time, well, my cousin Tony did this, smoked until he was 95. Yeah, there's a chance that you can smoke your whole life and nothing will happen.
Right.
But that chance is slim.
Right.
Why wouldn't you, like in that game, go do something just to increase your odds?
Yeah, you're rolling the dice.
Exactly.
So why not roll it in your favor?
Exactly.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So you're basically saying that use the percentage rules in your favor.
In your favor. So do things that promote healthy habits that will make you live longer instead of just saying, oh, whatever happens.
And gives you a happier life because you're going to feel better. You're going to have a lot more energy and it'll allow you to do a lot more things that you love to do. So to me, it's the equation of happy equals happy equals happy.
Love that.
It resonates. It absolutely resonates that it's almost a no-brainer and it doesn't take a lot of time. If somebody doesn't have an hour to spend exercising and doing all those repetitions and stuff, what's the minimum someone can do and how should they start? Like if someone's starting, they shouldn't do 2-hour workout, that's for sure, right?
No one needs a 2-hour workout.
Yeah, true.
Unless you're a professional athlete, you don't need a 2-hour workout.
There you go. So how should somebody ramp up and what's the time that they should spend and carve out in their day?
Half an hour is all you need.
Wow, you're locked and loaded on that one. Okay. Half an hour.
I
get
asked this question every day. That's why.
Why a half an hour?
Because back to that HIIT training, you only need 20 to 30 minutes, according to research, to really see the most for your time right there.
And a half an hour is better than nothing.
Exactly. 5 minutes is better than nothing.
True.
Anything is better than nothing.
Remember the 6-minute workout? Do you remember that? 6-minute workout.
I still have those.
Right? Do you? The 6-minute workout. So 6 minutes is even better than none.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and can someone start slow? Start with 10 minutes and work their way up to the 20, 30 minutes?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it becomes almost, a habit. It's addictive, right? You get that good feeling. You start feeling good. You sleep well at night and you feel better during the day, don't you?
I think you said earlier that the window we have to make something a habit is 3 months.
Okay.
So 90 days.
Okay.
90 days is really what you start feeling mentally a difference and when other people start noticing a difference in you.
Statistically, they say it takes 21 days to create a habit and 90 days to change your lifestyle. So if you want to incorporate something into your lifestyle, do it for 90 days. And it only takes 21 days to break a habit. So, or to form a habit, I should say. So why not invest 21 days? That's less than a month.
Yeah, it's nothing.
90 days goes right by in seconds when, you're committing. And you're doing it for yourself. So it's positive, positive, positive. It's a lot of people don't take time for themselves to do that. And, you know, they're so busy running around doing all this stuff for other people, which, again, I'm an advocate for. We serve one another. We should. But you got to do something for yourself every day. I say it every single show at the end of our show. Do a little something for yourself every day. Maybe it's this. Maybe this is what you do for yourself. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Something.
Something moving. It could be yoga. It could be weight training, which I want to just circle back really quick. We don't have a lot of time. But weight training, you know, how does one start with weight training? What's the best way to do? Is it kettlebells? Is it, you know, they're not deadlift weighting, right?
Functional movements is the best way to start. So body weight training, suspension training.
Okay, what does that mean in English?
Body weight squats is a perfect example for people, which is just sitting and standing.
Okay. That's using your own body weight to
as a weight. Doing,
you can do those with burpees, kidding?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, if you've never done a burpee, you need to go look them up and then email me, and you tell me what you think when you see those. Give it a try. It's really interesting. It actually is fun after a while, but it's a little rough at the beginning. It's a lot of activity.
They're hard, especially when we're doing with Spartan races. And if you fail an obstacle, that's the penalty is 30 burpees.
30 of them? Oh my God, I was thrilled when I did 6.
Yeah, but that's after going on an 8-10 mile hike, whatever it is, and you're already exhausted and you have to do 30.
Yeah, I'd be throwing up, but that's besides the point. Yeah, no, I do burpees and I don't enjoy them at all. Everything else I love, those I'm like, oh my God, no. Yeah, it's a love-hate relationship. But it really is a very strengthening move. You know, in one motion, you're really working everything.
Exactly.
Is it full body workout on that particular movement?
Just about.
Pretty much? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, whoever invented that, I need to meet them. We need to have a serious talk. Why not do like 3 different moves? Anyway, I'm obsessing on it. So if in the last few minutes, I have 2 questions for you. The first is, I always ask my guests, what's your why? Why do you do what you do?
That's my favorite question, which I was telling you. But I love helping people. That is, I've had clients I'm trying to put this into words, but cry for tears of joy because I've changed their lives. And no amount of anything can beat that. Whatever it is in life, that is the absolutely utmost, most rewarding part of why I do what I do. I have seen people that come to me on scooters. So the guy, I had someone that had spinal surgery that went wrong, and we got him walking with a walker.
Oh my God.
And he's able to move on a walker. He did a plank the other day.
Oh my
which
gosh.
Is on your forearms and holding your body up. Because he this is unfathomable. A year ago, this wasn't happening.
Wow.
When, like me, ran out of physical therapy sessions, so he was just stuck on his own. So he came to me and I helped him out doing this. I had a woman who had a new lung put in and a new hip put in and a new knee put in.
Wow.
And she could do nothing. And we took her from that to squatting 135 pounds.
Wow.
With the barbell on her back.
You're really changing people's lives in a positive way.
That's I really want to inspire people like I inspired myself and pass that on. That is 100% my why and why I want to do things and why I eventually wanted to get into motivational speaking, because people don't know what they're capable of until they do it. Everything's impossible until somebody does it. It's one of my favorite quotes.
Yeah. Yeah. And nothing is impossible.
Nothing.
So everything is possible. I love that. I really do. You are very, very inspirational, and it's wonderful. Now, you do at your shop real quick, you do group classes, you do personal training. What else do you do there?
It's mostly training, just one-on-one training. We do some small group training, which is capped at 5 people. That way we can still keep those classes personal.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you've experienced in a big class, you get lost. And like you said, you blindly following the instructor.
Yeah.
In our classes, that doesn't happen.
Okay.
Because we're making sure you have proper form while doing things.
But still I can pushing. Hide in those classes.
Yeah, there's no hiding in our classes.
That's great. And just if you could say anything to the listeners and be inspiring, which you are on a daily basis, what would you tell them?
Never give up, but don't let people tell you to. No matter how many people say you can't do something, I'm not even 30 and I started my own business. So there's nothing you can do, no matter what it is in life. Anything is possible, as long as you set your mind to it.
Yeah, yeah. You have an unstoppable spirit, and I love that about you, Anthony. It's wonderful. And if they mention the interview, right, they can get a free assessment.
Absolutely.
If they mention that they heard you on this show, they can get a free assessment.
We're also going to give them a free small group training class as well.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So we can do that and a free assessment if they mention the show, and we can get them in the assessment process. We learn a little bit about the individual for talking back and forth. We do some stuff on the floor, so a little bit of exercise, and then we talk about programming options, what's best for you, whoever decides to come.
That's wonderful. It's so wonderful to have you. I hope you can come back.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me a lot.
Absolutely our pleasure. You're, like I said, you're inspiring, and I look forward to all the changes that you're making and changing the industry. And even if you do it single-handedly, and I suspect you might, I think that's wonderful that you're starting this movement. So congratulations to you, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you all for joining us today on Healthy Lifestyle. My heart is always lifted by sharing this time with you. I want to thank my guest today, Anthony Amin from Redefined Fitness. Yeah, I don't know why I blanked on that. I need to work out more. I have no brain. And of course, our producer, Michael, I'll talk to you now, but whatever. In the meantime, follow us on social media at Healthy Lifestyle with LA. Remember, we're here to serve one another. So please just take a moment, step out of your day, do a little bit of something for someone else. It doesn't have to be a lot. And remember, do a little something for yourself. Create the new habit. It takes 21 days to build a habit, 90 days to build a lifestyle. Start with one new habit. Perhaps it's at Redefined Fitness. Come and speak to Anthony, who can give you some really good advice and send you down the right path. Someone who's as inspiring as this can definitely inspire you to stay on a program and do something for yourself and keep you all nice and healthy. That's what we're looking to do. In the meantime, thank you for joining us on Healthy Lifestyle. I'm Lorianne Kasdia. Until next time, play a higher role, serve a higher purpose, show up for you, and show up big.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.